Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stantmiller. We're coming to you from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network here in Round Rock, Texas, ladies and gentlemen. And on today's program, I'm going to have the Reverend Ted Pike. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Da Vinci Code. Now, there are some people out there that may not like me talking about the Jews. Jews? What kind of juice is that? Is that orange juice? Grape juice? No, folks, I've always reminded folks that we are not here to bash Jews. What we're here to do is expose the false Jewish leadership that is out there. And if people can't make that distinction and they're running from that, well, shame on them. You don't like the truth. At any rate, we'll have Reverend Ted Pike with us here in a few minutes. I saw this movie the other night. A lot of people have been talking about this. I hated to give money to these people that made it's. You know, if you look at this as a murder mystery, it's a pretty good movie. But who's behind this? It's the people that hate Christianity. It's the people that have been working with the ADL. It is the people who have been working with Southern Perversion Law, Morris Deeds' outfit. There are people that are working behind the scenes. These people are trying to craft hate crime bills, trying to shut down the First Amendment. And for that, I will not tolerate it. And, you know, a lot of people, y'all better start studying up on this issue, because a lot of people are just running scared from this because they're afraid of a backlash. Okay? Well, if you're afraid of it, then that should tell you something. Okay? If you fear it, there's something there. I don't fear boogeymen or possible ghosts hiding in my closet. They're not real. They're not there. This is there. So I'm going to talk about this today. And the people that don't understand that the Pharisees, the very same people that crucified Jesus Christ, they were the Pharisees of the day, that mutated into Talmudism and an offshoot of that, Kabbalism. If you don't understand that and you don't know it, you don't know who the false Jews are, well, then you've got a real problem. Because they're everywhere. They're in the medias. They have taken over Hollywood. I have somebody sending me, and I hope to get this here very soon, from that restricted place where they have the hate crime laws right now. It was put together by Jewish people about Hollywood being run by the Jews. So as long as we keep fortifying this with evidence, I am not afraid. And I don't care who these people are. See, that's why this network is not on too many AM and FM licensed affiliates. Because we will talk about subjects that's going to raise the ire of some people out there, but it just happens to be the truth. Hey, that's why I'm saying we're setting up the FM micro broadcasters out there. We'll be right back. All right. We'll bring up Mr. Pike here in a second. I just wanted to say one other thing. Mike, to the west of us, that emailed me. I don't have the email in front of me, but I've been trying to get a hold of you and other people. They have not returned my calls. I don't do emails. You have my cell number. Call me, Michael. Thank you. In Fredericksburg. Okay. On with the program today. How Catholics can combat the Da Vinci Code. You know, this is like Harry Potter on steroids. Only the Harry Potter, it was pushing mysticism, and it made a big splash here in this country, didn't it? Well, mysticism and white magic and all of that stuff is the antithesis to Christianity. But a lot of parents here in this country, it's just fun, it's just movies, it's not Satanism, it's not devil worshiping, it's just a movie. Mm-hmm. Well, then we have the Da Vinci Code, but it goes directly after the Roman Catholics. Well, there's been a lot mentioned about that. I don't want to get into any one sect of religious bashing here on this network. I have simply said, choose your belief systems carefully, because you know what? This is not a dress rehearsal. This is a real live play. When you die and the book of life is opened up on you, you know, there's not going to be any lawyers, any intercessors, any mouthpieces. There's not going to be anybody standing there defending you. It's going to be you and God. And you don't get any bigger judge than that. So I've only said this. And this covers Catholicism, Mormonism, I don't care if it's what it is. If you're comfortable in your faith and you don't want to read outside of that to find out that your particular religion may be just a bunch of mysticism unto itself, have its roots in paganism, whatever. If you don't want to look and somebody has tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, maybe you better look at what you're believing in here, shame on you. You know, like I said, I'm not your judge. No other man is going to be your judge. It's going to be God and you, and that's going to be it. With that, having said all that, a little diatribe, I have with me today Reverend Ted Pike. Good afternoon, Ted.
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. Did you happen to catch this wonderful movie?
Yes, I certainly did.
And I know you probably felt the same way I did, forking over cash to pay these people to put this trash on the screens, but, hey, I had to look at it.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot different from The Last Temptation of Christ, which I fought extensively through thousands, in fact, hundreds of thousands of brochures I sent out to pastors in America describing the source of that evil film, which was MCA, Jewish-controlled MCA in Hollywood. That was a real, you know, almost a vulgar, obscene, blatant broadside against the very deity and character, miracles and so on of Jesus Christ. This is much, much more sophisticated. This is a high-stakes crime thriller set in Paris and so on. It has much of a more of an intellectual appeal, I believe, to many people. But to the mass of a movie-going audience, I think they're so movie-made and they're so inculcated in the idea of movie reality that they pretty much begin to accept many of the basic premises of this film, which basically deny that Jesus was God, that deny Jesus, the reality that Jesus was not married, and so on. So it's a very insidious and a very subtle attack on Christianity.
Well, like I said at the top of the program, if people wanted to go see a good murder mystery, it's not a bad movie.
No.
But you're absolutely right. This is what I noticed when I was watching the film. And especially about the Last Supper, Da Vinci's portrait of the Last Supper, and there seated to his right was a female, and that's in the movie who they say is married to Jesus Christ. Now, it's in itself, you're right, it is sophisticated and it has an appeal. But what I did after the movie is I stood outside the theater and I started talking to people as they were coming out. And I said, are you guys buying this? 90% of the people that I talked to said no.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
So at least these people that I spoke to, maybe because they're from Texas and they're a little slow to learn the New Age ways or the Antichrist ways, but I got a pretty positive response out of the people that just seen the movie.
Yes.
Now let's go into who exactly put this film together, and what really gets me about this is little Ronnie Howard, little Opie Taylor, you know, that's done other hit movies, and well, he's a pretty good director. I think he still has a step or two to go to be one of the greats, but he's a pretty good director. But Ted, if you would explain to the fine folks here in the audience who exactly put this masterpiece together.
Well, thank you, John. Almost everybody realizes that the Da Vinci Code is an unprecedented attack on Christianity and Jesus Christ, but most people don't know that the media giants orchestrating this attack are Jewish. Now, back in the late 1980s, Sony of Japan bought out Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, TriStar, Columbia Pictures, and United Artists, and Howard Stringer, the former president of Jewish-owned CBS, rose to second in command of Sony International. That's Sony of Japan. He also is number one chair and CEO of Sony of America. Now, Howard Stringer is just the top of the iceberg of Jews within the top ranks of Sony of America. Emily Susskind is the president of Sony America. Robert Wiesenthal is executive vice president and chief financial officer. Nicole Seligman is executive vice president and general counsel. Phil Weiser is the CTO and Senior Vice President. Michael Fidler, Jr. is Senior Vice President. Jay Samet is General Manager of Connect. And Gretchen Griswold is Director of Corporate Communications. Now, it's almost entirely the entirety of the top management of Sony in America. They do have one Japanese represented in that group, but it's clearly heavily loaded with Jewish names and Jewish influences. Now Sony's Columbia Pictures, which is the actual maker of the Da Vinci Code, is headed by Amy Pascal. She, of course, is Jewish, and she's also chairman of Sony Japan's motion picture group. And the producer of the film was Brian Grazer, a well-known Jew. And then, of course, the screenplay was written by well-known Jewish screenwriter Akiva Goldsman. So it's very clear, the Jews in America comprise only something like 2.5% of the population. But here we have well over 90%, if not more, of the top creative figureheads in Sony America and Columbia Pictures being Jewish.
Well, and now you mentioned Wiesenthal. I didn't catch his first name. Is that any relation to Simon Wiesenthal, the Simon Wiesenthal Center?
I don't know. Robert Wiesenthal is the executive vice president and chief financial officer. He brokers huge merger deals. Is an expert lawyer and corporate lawyer, and certainly is a very influential part of Sony's top management. But as far as the relationship to the Wiesenthal Center, I have no idea.
Well, and I find this, by the way, folks, I would invite you to go to this man's website, truthtellers.org, because this is important. I don't know exactly how to say this without ruffling too many feathers out there, but we have a problem here in this country. We have a group of people, and I always classify this because, you know, Ted, that I know the New Tricardi people, their organizations. They're conservative Jews. They're Torah-believing Jews. They're not here to socially re-engineer or pass laws, hate crime laws, whatever. They're not. They're here to live, propagate like God meant all of us to, do business in which to feed our families. But they're not out there trying to influence America and basically turn them away from Christianity or anything else. Now, this really upsets me. I'm having a hard time finding words for this because many people will not talk about this. They're afraid of, if they're a talk show host, they're afraid of losing radio stations.
Yes.
And I said at the top of the broadcast, if you're that afraid of something, then there's something to it.
Yes.
And I've talked about this, and I always remind people that I am not a Jew basher any more than I'm a black basher or this basher or any other kind of basher. But we have equal opportunity to go after the people that are anti-American, and that's the Anti-Defamation League. That's all of these people. And I asked them, I said, if you do not know your history here, if you do not know your history, check out who actually put Jesus Christ on the cross. Those were the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they molded themselves into the latter-day Talmudists. You know, Kabbalist and whatever else. These are false Jews. And I keep reminding people of this fact, and it's like it's falling on deaf ears. As you said, there's only 2.5% of the Jewish population here in the United States, and not all these people hate America. I would say the bulk, the majority, 90%+, don't hate America. They love it very much here. We love having them. They're a heck of a business people. They drive hard bargains. They know a deal when they see one. But I'm talking about these people that have infiltrated, that are in the White House, that are Project for a New American Century. They have taken over our largest newspapers, the national glossy magazines, Hollywood, you name it. For such a small population of people, there seems to be, how should I say this, an extraordinary amount of people that are in position to be direct influence over other Americans' minds. Now, this is where I want to pick this up after we get back, Ted. This is one of my favorite subjects here. I don't see the Roman Catholic Church setting up hate laws or running Hollywood. We'll be right back. We are back. My guest today, Reverend Ted Pike. We're talking about the Da Vinci Code. And Chris, I wanted to ask you, we have problems here with our T1 line today. We're not able to take phone calls, are we? I don't. Well, I'll tell you what. Can somebody call the number here and find out? I guess that we can do that. So let me just test this right now, because I know a lot of people have seen this movie and would like to comment on it. Let me just try dialing my number right now. Okay. Can we take the calls? Is that down? It is? Okay, we can't take calls. All right, Reverend, we're on our own here.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, John.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I think we should also mention that... The Jewish media in general has joined together in concert with Sony of America, and they've all been working very, very much hand in glove to create a media firestorm of interest in the Da Vinci Code. Sony, for example, worked very closely with NBC this winter in promotion of NBC Universal's anti-Christian Book of Daniel. And now NBC has been working again on its with the Jewish head of NBC's television program, Jeff Zucker, lavishing promotion of the Da Vinci Code on the Today Show with Matt Lauer. Last week, Matt Lauer was gallivanting all over Paris and France, leading the whole nation in corporate participation in a so-called treasure hunt in the steps of the code. This is multi-million dollar free publicity for Sony Corporation. And similarly, CBS, which is presided over by Jewish Sumner Redstone, and also ABC, presided over by Jewish Michael Eisner, have also contributed to this really a financial bonanza. And when I'm talking about a financial bonanza, I'm not talking just about ticket sales at the theater, but the largest Jewish publishing house. Jewish publishing houses are reaping staggering profits from the sales of the Da Vinci Code. Joel Klein is chairman of the American operations of Bartelsmann AG. Now, Bartelsmann AG is not terribly well known, but it's the largest publishing conglomerate in the world. It's a German organization. But Random House, which is a venerable Jewish publishing house, in which the Encyclopedia Judaica confirms that in their article on publishing, they are the head of efforts by Jewish publishing here in the United States to produce all copies of the Da Vinci Code. And here's how it breaks down. Random House owns the rights to produce all large print copies of the Da Vinci Code worldwide. And then a division of Random House, which is Doubleday, owns rights to produce all regular print and special collector's editions of the book. And then finally, Anchor Books, which is a long-standing Jewish publishing house, and a subsidiary of Random House, they complete this Jewish monopoly by printing all paperback copies in the world today. So basically, we have these three divisions of Random House under the distribution advantages of Bartelsmann AG, which is presided over, I should mention, by Joel Klein. Joel Klein is the chairman of American Operations of Bartelsmann AG. They have basically an in-house monopoly of all printing of books of the Da Vinci Code throughout the world.
Now, you had something in your thing, The Jews Behind the Da Vinci Code, which you did the other day. You say here that last November, Abe Foxman, head of the Anti-Defamation League, B'nai B'rith, attacked politically involved Christian conservatives as a threat to freedom. Now, he vilified the Southern Baptist Convention for allowing witnessing to Jews. In his recent book, Never Again, The Threat to the New Anti-Semitism, he accused Christians who witnessed to Jews of being anti-Semitic. The New Testament, he rails, is a lying, hateful, hurtful book, ultimately responsible for the deaths of 6 million Jews in World War II. Now, again, you know, you're familiar with Ernst Zundel. This guy is in prison now because he was a Holocaust denier. There is a man that I think it was in Alabama. He's running for a state house down there. And he said, look, he said, I've looked into this thing. He said, and the largest amount that we were able to come up with was 140,000 Jews that were killed in the concentration camps. They have turned us into a cottage industry. We're still watching Adolf Hitler. Here it is, 2006, with a war that happened 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So they're milking this to no end. And anybody that contradicts the 6 million Jews that were killed in Nazi concentration camps, they're ostracized, they're thrown in jail, they're charged, anything under, you know, the proverbial sun. And Reverend, how do we start to break this hold?
Well, I am not an expert on the so-called Holocaust. One of the ways to break that hold is to do our best to honor those who have given their lives to researching the facts, figures, and so on of the alleged Holocaust. These people include people like scientist Germar Rudolph and David Irving and others. And Jewish media, these evil Jewish leaders we are talking about here today, are extremely frightened by the power of education, the power of the alternative media.
Okay, hold that thought. We've got to take this break. We'll be right back with you. A reminder to folks out there, next Wednesday we're switching shortwave frequencies. And if you've been trying to call the office because we weren't on the air for the first half hour today, you weren't able to get through because our T1 lines are down. This happened to another network in the last couple of days, and now it's happened to us. Kind of odd, isn't it? Well, at any rate, we'll just keep plugging on. Throw something in front of me, I'll just walk around you. We'll get past you one way or the other. We're talking with Ted Pike today, Reverend Ted Pike, and we're talking about the Jews behind the Da Vinci Code. But this is much, 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 much bigger than just one book. We have suffered an attack on Christianity in this country by the Anti-Defamation League. I call them the American Defamation League, because they hate. And Reverend, I don't think you'll argue with me on this one, that this nation was founded on Christian principle, correct? Do I have the Reverend still?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. We're basically a Christian nation founded on Christian principles, a Christian majority, and so on. And incredibly, an extremely small and infinitesimal minority of these evil Jewish leaders and Jewish anti-Christian activists now are basically telling us what we can and cannot show in the public square, what we can and cannot say, and so on. And this is beyond belief. You know, back in the days of the Founding Fathers, our Founding Father Benjamin Franklin came out with a very, very frank and even blistering a reminder to the people of America that they'd better watch out lest evil Jews come over from Europe and basically take over this country, subvert it, and hijack our whole republic. And incredibly, we are there today. Folks, we are there. We have not heeded Franklin's warning. The evil people of ADL, B'nai B'rith, and their command of the media, government, finance, and even the war-making powers of America now are sitting in the driver's seat of control of this nation.
Well, and a lot of people don't like it when I bring this up, but I will bring it up again. We are following the roadmap to peace, according to the Israeli government and the state of Israel.
Yes.
Which, and you're aware of this, that the Nuchakarty group here in America, you want to talk about Jew-hating, okay? You'll have 10,000 or more every single year falling out in the streets of New York, decrying the fact that Israel is not to be, by their own Torah teachings, not the Talmud or not their Kabbalistic Bibles or whatever else. And without fail, there's never one article, newspaper article, never any glossy magazine coverage of this, nothing on television, the cable news networks, nothing. And these people are out there saying, Ted, that, wait a minute, our teachings teach us this, that we were disbanded. We were sent hither and yon around the world, and we are not to have our own state until the Messiah comes.
Yes.
Now, they happen to believe that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah, and that's fine. That's their belief system. But these people do not go after Christians because they believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and when he returns again, then it's on. They will not go against that because they recognize that as being Christians' beliefs,
uh-huh.
and they leave that alone.
Yes.
So we have a predominantly Jewish-controlled media, major newspapers, Hollywood, as you stated, control of Washington. We've been giving Israel some $3 billion a year since Hector was a pup. We've sold them all sorts of weaponry. They are over there causing chaos in the Middle East. The United States is backing them. And we're going to go into Iran here. I don't think there's any question about this. I don't think there's any question we'll take care of any other country over there, Syria or whomever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
We will crush them also to bring them into compliance.
Yes.
Now, Israel is the third-ranked nuclear power on the entire planet.
Yes.
To what threat is the Middle East to Israel if they could literally wipe the entire Middle East right off of the map?
Yeah.
You know, Ted, I try to get people to understand this. If you check the ADL's website, and other people have told me, well, I'll just put in your name in the search engine on their website, and your name's all over the place. No, it isn't. I mentioned a few times from about 10, 15 years ago, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
Abraham Foxman is well aware of who I am.
Yeah.
He does not want to bring any attention to me because we talk about the real issues about Judaism. We talk about the real issues of the Pharisees or the political movement, the Zionists. We talk about all of that, so he's not going to draw any attention to me or on that. But I have no doubt about this, that we're on their hit list, probably number one on their hit list, to be done away with when the time comes.
Yes. Well, I'm in the same category, John. I am still failing to get any publicity from the ADL. I've been, after them, probably one of the world's greatest antagonists to the ADL and most public about that, and yet they completely ignore me. And of course, they give lavish attention to other people who are more racistic or nationalistic or whatever. And the fact of the matter is that they are very afraid of our message simply because it's the truth. And my message, particularly, they are very afraid of because I do have some powerful videos exposing their role in the creation of hate laws worldwide. I have a video by the title Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians, which is an 80-minute expose of how the ADL keeps files on tens of thousands of its political opponents, including members of the political New Right in America, Christians, anti-abortionists, pro-lifers, I should say, and so on. And the ADL does not want people coming to Republic Broadcasting or to truthtellers.org because they are very concerned about the proliferation of alternative talk radio. We are continuing to show that alternative talk radio can powerfully impact Congress. We've seen just in the last few weeks how that we were able to significantly defeat Senator Kennedy on the floor of the Senate there, defeating his hate bill once again. We defeated him last fall in the Senate Judiciary Committee. We defeated him the previous year, and that's primarily a result of the phenomena of alternative talk radio. And you and I are very explicit. We are not going to use euphemisms such as New World Order or liberals or secular humanists when the fact of the matter is that these people are Jewish. They are evil Jewish leaders. They are the spiritual and literal ancestors of the ancient Pharisees who crucified Jesus Christ and who also persecuted the church ruthlessly, as recorded in the book of Acts. And basically what is happening now is that even though these evil Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin of the first century A.D., was thwarted in its attempt to destroy Christianity 19 centuries ago, now having ascended into such positions of media, financial, and political control, they are attempting to finish the job now. And the so-called anti-hate laws are their cleverly designed tools toward that end.
Well, and there's all sorts of facts. Again, folks, I want you to go to truthtellers.org to familiarize yourself with the subject, because these are the people that are controlling what you and I are seeing. I mean, it's so bad, I can't even call Fox News, Rupert Murdoch's network anymore, just a cheerleader for George Bush and his unconstitutional and illegal wars in the Middle East. But they've gone well beyond that.
Yes.
You know, I'm reading here off of your site that Mickey Weinstein was successful. He sued the Air Force Academy. Get this, ladies and gentlemen, banning chaplains there from using the name of Jesus in public prayers. He was assisted by Rabbi Arnold Reznikoff, highly placed ethical consultant to both the Navy and the Air Force in upholding such an end to free speech. They're not joking about this, are they? They want to eradicate Christianity and any mention of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. What we have to realize is that there's something like 15 million Jews in the world today, and ADL, B'nai B'rith, I should say the parent organization of ADL, which is B'nai B'rith International, is a Jewish organization, 100% Jewish, and they have something like 2,100 lodges and chapters around the world. They have presences in more than 50 countries of the world. They are now orchestrating a huge 55-nation hate crimes Gestapo in Europe called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Now, this is what is called organized Jewry. There are lots of Jews who aren't particularly organized. There are suburban Jews in America, hardworking Jews, Jews of good intention, assimilated Jews in America who've never read the Talmud, who don't know anything about the evil and the conspiracy contained in the Talmud and Kabbalah. They are pretty much blended into the American social fabric and so on. Those are not the people we're worried about and concerned about today. We're talking about people radiating from ADL B'nai B'rith who have a particular penchant and antagonism against Christianity, especially evangelical Christianity and the Roman Catholic Church. And these evil Jewish leaders of organized Jewry, they are a small minority, but they are so focused. They are so inculcated with rabbinic hatred of Christianity and of the Goyim or Gentiles that they aren't interested in being blended into the American social landscape. They are interested in overlaying Christian society with the Judaic ethics, the Talmudic ethics of their New World Order. Now, what is interesting is that Abe Foxman, who is the head of the ADL, is also an Orthodox Jew. I mean he's a Torah observant Jew, as Rabbi Wiest of Naturi Carta. But there's a divergence of tactics within Orthodox Judaism. We have Rabbi Daniel Lappin out in Seattle. He's head of Toward Tradition, and he's very militantly against ADL B'nai B'rith. Now, he's an Orthodox Jew, but his approach, he believes that Judaism is the one true religion. He believes that it has a higher rationality than Christianity. He denies the Trinity, he denies Jesus Christ, but on the other hand, he attempts to further the fortunes of Judaism in the world, not by violence, not by Christian bashing, but by reason, by argumentation, by education, and so on. And he's a political conservative, and as I say, he's militantly opposed to ADL B'nai B'rith. In fact, I have mentioned probably on this program that he warned last summer evangelical Christians on Trinity Broadcasting that secular Judaism, as he calls it, which means ADL B'nai B'rith, they are now in a ruthless antagonism to Christianity, to evangelical Christians in the world today. Now, what we have here is there are two different approaches. One is Rabbi Lappin's, which I believe is commendable. I disagree with him, but it's commendable. It's the American way. On the other hand, we have another Orthodox Jew, which is Abe Foxman of the ADL, and his approach is to further the supremacy of Judaism by bashing Christianity and stripping us of our symbols in our nativity scenes, in our Ten Commandments, of supporting abortion, supporting homosexuality, supporting pornography, and all of these things which are like a battering ram breaking down the walls of Christian civilization. Now, it's this group of organized Jews, which is a relatively a minority in world Jewry today, that we have a quarrel with. And don't let anybody say that Reverend Ted Pike is anti-Semitic because he is going out against ADL B'nai B'rith. I believe that if the prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel and John the Baptist were in the world today, they would get on talk shows just like this. They would stand on the highest hill they could find, and they would declaim and rebuke against these evil Jewish leaders in high places, just as they did 2,000 years ago.
Well, even I'm kind of fascinated here that we had the evangelical community decry the fact that Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. You know, there were some that said, well, you know, maybe it's a little anti-Semitic or whatever. But by and large, they came out in support of Mel Gibson. But I have heard nobody come out and go against the Da Vinci Code.
Well, the evangelicals are certainly going against the Da Vinci Code. What they are not doing is naming the evil, basically Jewish sponsors and promoters of this. Of this book and movie. Now that's what they won't do, and you see, there's a limit to how effective we can be in holding back these evil Jewish leaders if we never mention their name, if we never identify them and hold them up to public scrutiny to the anger of the American people. You know, it's kind of like if you were a sheep farmer and you had a wicked neighbor. And let's just call him Evil Abe to stand for Abe Foxman. If you had a wicked neighbor, and that neighbor was stealing your sheep regularly, and yet he was threatening you that he would burn your barn down if you named his name to the police, you have two alternatives. You can go the road of appeasement, and you can say, well, I've got to keep the peace, and I've got to make a living, and I'll just kind of scrimp along here, losing a certain amount of sheep in order to please Evil Abe, because he's one nasty character, and he's burned down barns before. That's basically the approach of the American evangelicals. A lot of them and their leaders know that the ADL is squarely behind these hate laws, but they're afraid of being called anti-Semitic and having their names tarnished and losing members in their churches and people claiming they're anti-Israel and so on. So rather than having their ecclesiastical barns burned down, they go along and they appease Evil Abe. Now, the other approach is to cry out. And let's say these farmers are all intimidated in the valley, and then one little shepherd who doesn't own a barn stands up and says, Evil Abe is the one who's stealing the sheep. And he cries that out as loud and as far as he can. And that's kind of what I'm doing on talk radio. And then suddenly it comes to the attention of the police, and the spotlight is shined on Evil Abe. The police come and arrest him, and so all of the sheep stealing stops in that valley. Now, that's exactly what would happen if evangelicals had the same kind of fight as John the Baptist, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Jesus pointed out in the most specific, blistering terms the sins of the Pharisees. He delineated them with greater specificity than anybody ever did before or since. And that, in my opinion, is a powerful reminder to me that he was divine. He knew with great precision and prophetic forethought exactly what these evil Jewish leaders would do in the progress of the centuries.
All right, we've got to take this break. When we get back, Ted, I want you to talk about this melding of Judeo-Christendom that we have seen. And you're more of an expert on this than probably anybody I've ever heard on it. And I'd like to go through this, because we've got a lot of these evangelicals that, oh, they're bowing down to Israel. And even the conservative Orthodox Jews out there are saying, no, Israel's not right. We'll be right back. I mentioned Ernst Zundel before, setting the record straight, letters from cell number 7. Ernst Zundel, German-born civil rights activist and dissident historian, was seized by U.S. authorities at his home in Tennessee in 2003. 2 weeks later, he was extradited to Canada, where he was held in solitary confinement on the empty pretext that he was a threat to national security. Zundel's saga didn't end there. He was shipped off to Germany to face charges of inciting race hatred. This book is amazing. I mean, this is what they're doing to people, Ted. It's amazing. You know, if that doesn't tell you of the power that these people wield to have extradition from one country to another, and to face basically in Germany what is, well, thought crimes or hate crimes.
Yes.
Now, where I guess, and I'll get into the subject of this Judeo-Christendom in the next segment, but Ted, where are these hate crime laws at right now? They came up this year. Are they permanently buried this year?
Well, not really. We have defeated Senator Kennedy on the floor of the Senate. That happened 3 or 4 weeks ago, and what basically happened there was that Senator Kennedy was standing in the middle of the road of the passage of children protecting legislation, and there have been a lot of people who have been concerned about so many pedophiles who have been convicted of raping little children and so on not being under proper supervision in the states. And although I don't really approve of federalizing the control of them, I feel that it is basically a pandemic situation almost out of control in this country, especially with the stimulation of pornography, child porn on the Internet, and so on. So I saw this children legislation as a powerful tool, kind of a bulldozer, which might push Kennedy out of the way. But unfortunately, the leaders of the new right were not aware that was the reason the bill was the children's bill was not being passed. They didn't realize Kennedy and his hate bill were trying to attach themselves to that and were basically blocking that. And I sent out an e-alert nationally, and it may have been that the message of that got to O'Reilly of Fox News. All I know is the next day after my e-alert went out, after at least 6 months of total bewilderment on the part of O'Reilly, he came out blasting Kennedy for standing in the way, caused tens of thousands of phone calls to come into Kennedy's office. And, of course, I was on your program at that time, too. We got thousands of calls to every member of the Senate blasting Kennedy's hate crimes law and so on. The result was that Kennedy, again, was defeated. Now, at present time, he does have the right to try to attach his hate bill, S-1145, to any new piece of legislation that will have him. But that's problematical, because we saw so clearly this time around in the last few months that legislation that has Kennedy's hate bill attached to it is probably not going to go anywhere in Congress, because Senate Majority Bill Frist is adamantly going to resist the progress of that legislation through Congress. So that's a real blow against Kennedy. Also, Kennedy's office told one of my informants that Kennedy might try to establish the hate bill on its own merits, on its own footing, as a bill in its own right. But that's also problematical for Kennedy, because that opens much greater scrutiny on the part of Congress to the hate bill, and even the possibility of hearings.
Right.
So he has been dealt a very heavy blow, but I'm extremely watchful lest he should rise like a wounded rattlesnake and try to get away with it again.
Well, evidently he's a Stephen Fetchin. He owes much, so we don't look for Ted Kennedy to go away anytime soon.
No.
All right. We'll take the break here, top of the hour break. We'll be back on the other side, and hopefully we can get our phones up so we can take calls next hour. And we'll do that right after this short break. Stay tuned.